The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
2020 has been a year when life feels hard. But I think if you're 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, these days, it's so much harder than when I was a little girl. So many more things are being thrown at our daughters. And what I want them to know is who God sees them as.
Sheila Walsh encourages our daughters to be praying girls. Next.
Hi, welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh, and I'm so glad you're with us. You know, I was thinking it might be interesting sometime for you to perhaps write into me of some issues that you'd like me to address, or maybe an area of scripture that you kind of struggle with that maybe we could kind of unpack together. You can always leave me messages on our Life Today Facebook page or my own personal page. It's Sheila Walsh Connects. So if there's something you think, you know, Sheila, I'd love your input on this, or would you talk about this? Would you teach on this? I would be really honored to. You know, one of the things that's been so much on my heart for at least the last 2 years, probably longer, is just the whole call to pray. Now, obviously, I've known that since I was a young girl. You know, I was brought up in a small Baptist church on the west coast of Scotland. And back then, I mean, my life was pretty much the church. We would have Sunday morning service, Sunday evening service, and then in the afternoon on Sunday, I had Sunday school. Monday night was the women's meeting, and my mom would take me to that as well. Tuesday night was the prayer meeting. Thursday night was Junior Christian Endeavor, and Saturday night was our youth group. So I spent so much of my time, you know, in the church with my friends and family, and growing up within that whole, under that beautiful umbrella. But, you know, in recent years, I felt myself a kind of fresh desire to ask the Holy Spirit, you know, are there areas of my life that just need tuned up? And it became really clear to me that what he was revealing to me was that prayer is so important. I mean, when you think about it, you know, other than the Holy Spirit, it's the most powerful weapon we have as believers, but often it's the one that we kind of turn to. You know, Sundays, even as a last resort. Well, I'll do what I can, and if I can't do anything, then I'll pray about it. And the Lord's been showing me how important, particularly in these days, perhaps never more so than in the days we are living, than to pray, to realize the power when we join our hearts and our souls and our spirits and pray with God for things to shift in our families, in our communities, and even in our nation. So last year, I wrote a book called Praying Women. And honestly, I never intended to publish that book. It was notes that I was taking for myself as I was reading through scripture or as I was reading commentaries. And I was remembering a piece of advice that Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife, who's now home with the Lord, I remember one time when I was staying with Ruth, when Billy was off doing a crusade, and she said, Sheila, when you are researching a subject, don't just read what current writers are saying. Go as far back as you can. And so I did that. I looked as far back in church history and read what other people said about prayer. But I'll never forget when I went into the studio to record the audio book of Praying Women, I found myself, as I was reading passages, thinking, oh, wow, I wish I'd known this when I was a young girl. I wish I'd understood this when I was 10, 11, 12, moving into teenage years. And because there was so much I struggled with as a young girl, not understanding the value that Christ placed on my life. In fact, I was remembering a story. After my father's death, I was 5, my sister was 7, and my brother was 2. And it was, it was a big shift in our family, obviously losing a father who we loved, but we also lost our home, we lost our car, and we moved into housing that was provided by the local government. And my mum lived on what was called a widow's pension, which wasn't really very much money at all. So there wasn't a lot of extra money for extra things. And in Scotland, we don't have elementary, middle school and high school. There's only two. There's primary school from when you're 5 till about 12, and then secondary school from 12 until 18 when you graduate and go to college. But when you're finished with primary school, there's a big dance. I mean, you're 12 years old, so how big a dance can it be? But it was always looked on as being something really important. And the fashion at that particular time was these very straight kind of knit dresses. And I knew that my mom could not afford to buy me a specific dress for that occasion. And so I thought, well, I just won't go to the dance. But then one day I came home and my mom said, Sheila, you're never going to believe it, but I was able to buy you a dress for the dance. You may have heard me tell the story, but I ran upstairs so excited. And when I looked at the dress, it was just all wrong. It was, you know, it wasn't straight. It tied in the middle with a big bow and lots of kind of fluffy layers. But I did not have the heart to tell my sweet mom, I can't wear this dress. So on that particular day of the dance, I put the dress on, came down, and said I was going to the dance and hid in the field behind the school. Just so full of shame. I'll never forget the feeling. I mean, obviously it was a long time ago. But what I felt was I wasn't enough. I didn't fit in. But I couldn't talk to my mom about it because I would make her feel so, so bad. And when I was thinking about that while I was recording the book, Praying Women, I thought, I want to write something for that age. And so this is what I wrote. It's called Praying Girls Devotional, and it's 60 days to shape your heart and grow your faith through prayer. And I'm really, really excited about this. It's for ages about 10 to 14. Because if you think of the world that we're living in at the moment, there's so much uncertainty. And if you look at what's being thrown at our young girls from television, I was talking to a mom the other day, and she said, my daughter came home from school and said, you know, Mom, am I fat? And she said, my daughter is so slender, but some other girl had told her that she looked fat. And that was the image that this girl had taken on. I do not want that for our daughters, for our granddaughters, for our little sisters. So I just wanted to tell you a little bit about this book today. It's divided into four sections. Part one is there's 15 devotions for when life feels hard. 2020 has been a year when life feels hard. And I can only imagine what it's like for some of our younger girls who maybe can't go to school. Maybe they're not allowed to go back to school. Perhaps they're doing school from home and feel cut off from their friends. And, you know, there was a terrible story locally this year. And it was a young boy, actually, who felt so isolated during the whole pandemic and ultimately felt like he couldn't really talk to his family about it, felt like he couldn't talk to his sister and couldn't talk to his mom and dad. And that precious young boy took his own life. Things that we just think are unthinkable. But I think if you're 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, these days, it's so much harder than when I was a little girl. So many more things are being thrown at our daughters. And what I want them to know is who God sees them as. So the second section, part two, deals with not my best self. What do you do on the days when you feel you've let God down, that you feel you don't measure up? I want to talk to them about that. I want young girls to know. In fact, it was something I used to tell my son when he was just a little boy. I remember it was back in the days when I used to travel with a group called Women of Faith. You might remember that. We did it for 20 years. We would do about 30 events a year, speaking in different arenas around the country. And when Christian was really little, he would travel with me. And I remember remember on one particular occasion when I think it was our lighting director's birthday. And we'd had a huge, big cake backstage, and everyone had had some, but Christian had got frosting all over his face and over his hands and on his clothes. So my mother-in-law, Eleanor, she was with us that weekend, and she said, listen, I'll take Christian back to the hotel, and I'll give him a bath and get him all ready for bed. And I was speaking that night, and I had on a cream suit. I remember it clearly. I never wore it again. Because as they were about to introduce me to go up and speak, I suddenly heard this little voice behind me saying, Mom! And Christian, he was probably about 5 or 6, he just wanted one more hug before he went to bed. And so I knelt down and I opened my arms up and gave him a big hug. And I knew I was going to get frosting on my jacket and in my hair. I guess that's why I like speaking to women, because I know they totally get the frosting in the hair thing. But the message was very intentional, because what I was saying to Christian was this: you do not clean yourself up to come to your mom, because you don't clean yourself up to come to your Heavenly Father either. And so that's what this part of the devotional deals with. 50 devotions when your little girls feel that they're not their best self. The third section is called Telling the Truth. You know, it's a strange time that we are living in, when I feel there's so much twisting of what's really the truth. Even on, you know, even programs that you feel comfortable with your younger sons and daughters watching, there's so much that's not telling the truth from a godly, biblical perspective. And so that's why there's 15 devotions on what it means to tell the truth. And then the final section is called So Much Joy. And I think telling the truth leads to so much joy. What I wanted young girls to know was, you know what? You don't have to pretend to be okay. You don't have to have all your ducks in a row. You get to come to God as you really are. So I thought I might read you one. And this is called, it's on day 53, and it's called The Power of the Word of God. And I have a quote at the beginning, and it says this: don't fall into the trap of reading the Bible without doing what it says. So this is what I wrote. During my senior year of high school, a teacher had me enter a contest in which I had to recite a speech from any Shakespearean play. You have a gift for drama, she explained, which I'm not sure was high praise or not. Well, I decided to go for it anyway. I first thought about doing something from Romeo and Juliet, but since Juliet was either hopelessly in love or about to die, I decided to take a pass on her. I picked Catherine instead, from a play called The Taming of the Shrew. On the day of the competition, I realized I was in over my head. The other contestants were amazing. I mean, amazing. I swallowed hard, thinking, I don't have a chance here. Well, as it turned out, I was right. But things were even worse than that. During my performance, I delivered the lines I'd memorized, but because I thought they needed to be jazzed up a little, I added some lines that weren't even in The Taming of the Shrew. I threw in a couple of Juliet's better lines. I made stuff up, whatever it takes, I figured, before finishing, taking a bow, and sweeping off the stage. Well, after everyone who was competing had taken their turn, the judge took center stage. Before I announce the winner, he said, I'd like to invite one of our contestants back onto the stage. Yes, it was me. When I reached his side, he looked at me and said, what on earth were you thinking? You can't just make up your own lines. I fumbled around for an explanation, but there was none to be found. He then said something to me I have never forgotten. The authority is in the text. When you decide to come up with your own lines, you have lost all authority. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, we read this: all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. God has given us his holy word so that we can be taught what is true and change our lives to align with that truth. When we look to other books, other words, other lines for our source of truth, we lose all authority. The Bible is the believer's ultimate source of authority and truth. By reading its words and applying them to our lives, we will have the spiritual authority to stay faithful to Christ, to stand up for what's right, to be salt and light in our world, and to tell others where hope is truly found. So I wanted you to know that I wrote this for your daughters, for your little sisters, for your granddaughters, to put something into their hands that every single day they can read this devotion. And then I've included a prayer at the end to help them know how to pray if perhaps they're just starting. And then I include a scripture verse and a few lines where they can write down their own thoughts. You know, I love the fact that the authority is in the Word of God. And I was reading from Psalm 119 today. And this is what verse 9, verse 11, and verses 15 and 16 say. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And then verses 15 and 16, I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. So here's what I'm thinking. Wouldn't it be great if you could go through this devotional with your daughters or your granddaughters? I've already had so much feedback from moms saying, you know, I actually got two copies because I'm going to read it, my daughter's going to read it, and then we're going to talk it through together. One of my dearest friends, Lisa Harper, you may be well aware of Lisa, she and her daughter, Missy, have copies of the book, and that's what they've been doing. They've been doing this together. So I want every single one of you to have a copy of Praying Girls, 60 Days to Shape Your Heart and Grow Your Faith Through Prayer. 2020 could be a year where we all feel as if we've lost some ground. I don't know what situations are like in your part of the country. Some churches are able to meet together, socially distanced. Some are not able to, and it's all online. But if you feel a little disconnected, this is a great tool for you to stay connected with your daughters and to raise up godly prayer warriors. So I just want you to know that you can get your copy of this book today. And I'm going to tell you how to do that. We have such a commitment here in at Life. It's been on James and Betty's heart for years to make sure that little girls and little boys who go to bed at night with nothing in their tummies, that they would be given physical food. And then our partners on the ground who love Jesus will be able to share the spiritual food that will bring them life through our bowls of food and life through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I'm going to let you know how to get hold of this book. But first of all, would you watch this story with me? And then we'll talk again.
The birth of a child is one of the most transcendent moments in time. The miracle of life. Tiny hands and feet, we instinctively see they're created in the image of God. And over time, they grow into the young men and women they were designed to be. At least, that's every parent's hope and prayer.
I don't know if you can see, oh, darling, I don't want to touch it. I don't want to hurt you, but can you see her skin? Her skin has begun to literally peel off her body.
Throughout Africa, terrible events like famine and drought have decimated entire communities and left many with little or no food. The The devastating effects of severe food shortages are most visible in the children.
With severe malnutrition, the first organ to shut down is the skin. It's as if all the reserves go to try and protect what's left inside. James and Betty, you have sat here over and over and over through the years, faithfully serving and feeding millions. But I know you'll see this. This mom, who is desperate like any mom would be to save the life of her precious child, had to travel 30 kilometers to get here. But it's why mission feeding matters so much. We talk about life where it's needed most. Where it's needed most is in the villages where these darling children live. Because this mom shouldn't have to travel 30 kilometers with a desperately sick little lamb. They need our help, and they need it now. Those pictures and those faces and those little ones never, ever leave me. I find myself, like every morning when I get up, I like to go out onto the little balcony where my husband and I live in our townhouse, and I like to raise my arms up just in an act of absolute dependence on the Lord. But then I move to praying, and I pray for these moms that I've met. I mean, they share their stories. They don't have to share their stories with us, but they're so desperate. The first time I walked into a malnutrition clinic, do you know what struck me the most, apart from the devastation you see on the bodies of these precious little ones, was the silence in some areas. You would think, I used to volunteer in a children's hospital when I was growing up in Scotland, and it was always noisy, either with crying or laughing. In some of these malnutrition clinics, the children, they've no energy left. They can't laugh. They can't cry. You can watch their little bodies, and it's like every single ounce of strength they have left is just to take the next breath. And I've watched the hopelessness in the eyes of these moms who love their children every bit as much as you love your children and I love my son. I mean, to get 30 kilometers with a sick child, so often the child does not survive the journey. But the thing is, you and I can change that. Our commitment here this year at Life Through Mission Feeding is to get food to 350,000 children. You know, one of the great ironies of life is they've talked about the pandemic of 2020, how everybody has gained weight. There's a place where nobody has gained weight, and that's in those villages where our faithful partners are on the ground providing food and help and hope. So please, can you and I determine together that we're not going to let that happen on their watch? I want to send you my book, Praying Girls, to build up your little girls spiritually. But will you help us build up these little ones physically? Honestly, from the time that they get the first bowl of nutritious food, they turn from death to life. $30 feeds three children for 3 months. $100 feeds 10 children for 3 months. This could be a year when we all determine that we're not going to reach out because life's hard. I believe as the body of Christ, 2020 can be marked out as the year that we rose up and said, no, not on our watch. We're going to make a difference. Please call that number. Give the very best gift possible. Give it in the name of Jesus.
Today, on top of the daily fight for life and food, families and children across Africa are now forced to deal with the challenges of a global health crisis. Because of COVID-19, food scarcity has increased drastically, and the fear of dying from lack of food is far greater than the virus itself. Even in these unprecedented times, Mission Feeding won't stop. With your help, Mission Feeding will continue to be a daily source of food, encouragement, and health for the 350,000 children counting on us. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 that will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you 40 Days of Healing Promises. This beautiful hardcover devotional will encourage you in your faith as you dive deep into the healing promises that are yours in Jesus' name.
With your gift of $100 or more, please request a Blessings for Your Home bowls and tea towels set. This set of bowls and two beautifully designed tea towels will make a wonderful addition to your home and serve as a reminder of your help in blessing others as a friend of life. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our commemorative bronze sculpture, A Mother's Strength. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
There is a mother here in Africa who is desperately crying out to God to say, please help me. Help me save my child. I would do it if I could, but I don't have the resources. And so on behalf of that mother, on behalf of that child, I am crying out to you today because I don't have the resource to meet that child's need. I cannot save that child's life. We're in place. We've got the ability to do it, but we don't have the resources. And that's why today I'm asking you, please, please just dial that number on the screen or get online. You give however you need to give, but please today, right now, this is a crisis. It is an emergency, and I need you to act immediately. Please, do it right now. Give that gift. Give the gift of life. Give the gift of food. Save that child and save that mother from the suffering and pain that she'll go through if we don't reach her child today.
Thanks for watching. I know it's tempting sometimes to just change the channel, but you didn't. You stayed. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. For any gift at all, we will send you Praying Girls devotional. We have beautiful gifts available. I love for $100, you get the towels and the bowls. Every time you have soup or cereal, it'll remind you to pray for these little ones. And remember, too, we're here to pray for you. If you need us, we are here for you. We don't take you for granted. We're so, so grateful. And we will see you next time on Life Today.
The person who's going to lose every time is the person who is sleeping and they're in their pajamas when the enemy comes through the camp.
Slaying Dragons, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.